up, shut up, and your death, shut up, shut up, and your death, shut up, shut up, shut up, shut up, and your death, shut up, shut up, and your death.
Hey, Mike.
Hello, Robin.
What is going on?
The city is loud today.
How loud?
It's loud.
San Francisco feels like a quiet city to me.
It's not.
Interesting.
Well, I mean, compared to New York, it might be, but...
Yeah.
Every day I wake up to the sound of kids running around in the apartment upstairs.
It's kind of adorable.
It is kind of adorable.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the right kind of noise.
Right. Coming from a kid, yes.
Sure. But, you know, it can be a thing.
Sure.
And then, as I'm getting ready to start this call, and you might hear some of this, they started mowing the park across the street. So I'm getting park mowing noises.
Yeah, that's good.
Anyway, the city's loud.
City's loud.
And we're all packed in here.
Yeah. I mean, it's basically what a city is. It's a group of people stuck together in small spaces and feeling good.
And they don't know each other.
Yeah, I don't know shit about my neighbors. I know everybody on my floor is gay. Like the two apartments next to me, like everybody, including me, is gay.
Uh-huh.
So that's nice. But I don't know what they do. I just know that they're gay.
Do you know their names?
No. Are you kidding me? No.
Yeah, I don't know any of my neighbors' names. I know their dogs' names.
Oh, that's nice.
Because we meet in the dog park.
Right.
And it's okay to ask, what's your dog's name?
Yeah, that seems friendly. The next step is really, what's your name? But I can understand why you don't get there.
We never go there. Nobody's ever asked me my name.
What'd you do this week?
What did I do this week?
What'd you do?
I'm still doing it.
Yeah,
it's just Thursday. It's Thursday morning. I'm still doing it.
Thursday's over the hump.
I did a lot of writing.
That's good.
Yeah.
Same. What are you writing about? You're writing that book, aren't you?
I'm writing
a big-ass book.
You're writing a big-ass book. I don't know how big it's going to be, but it's a book.
Book's a book. That's all I got to know.
Book's a book.
I've been writing articles really essays. I don't know if I can call them articles, but they're essays. I've been writing them all week.
For what?
A lot of different things. I'm writing a piece for this company called Healthline right now. And I turned in the first draft yesterday, and I'm writing a piece for Mel Magazine right now, too. And I also turned in a draft for that 2 days ago.
What's Mel Magazine?
They're this new magazine that's owned by Dollar Shave Club, and they're sort of making content that's targeted to men, but in a really interesting way. My friend Cooper and Alana work there, so I was excited to write for them.
The Dollar Shave Club.
Yeah.
Who is not a sponsor, by the way.
No.
Although.
We would love a sponsor. We would really love a sponsor.
Because aren't we the people who should be sponsoring the Dollar Shave Club?
Yeah. I mean, I really feel like we could. Why not?
I mean, we should be the face of the Dollar Shave Club.
Yes, I agree. The individual face is both of us.
Why are they starting a magazine?
I mean, everybody starts content, and they keep the Dollar Shave Club
thing
pretty low.
I hate that word.
Content?
Yeah.
You hate the word content? Look what we're doing.
I hate that word.
What do you think we're doing right now?
We're making a podcast.
No, we're making.
We're talking.
We're making content, Mike.
Come on. Have you ever woken up jonesing for content?
No, but it's the fix that I get even when I don't want it. I'm a junkie. I'm an addict. I take what I get.
Have you ever called up a friend and said, hey, let's go take in some content today?
No, but I've had some friends call me and be like, let's go make some content today.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I live in New York. Come on, what do you expect?
That's sad.
Yeah, it's home. I hang out with media people almost exclusively. Like, everybody's kind of making content at some point or the other.
Well, I feel sorry for you.
That's okay.
My problem with the word is that it's too generic.
Okay, that's a fair problem.
So you don't call your friends up and say, hey, let's go see some media content. You say, hey, let's go to a movie.
Okay, yeah. I see that.
Or, hey, let's go see a band.
Yeah. That makes sense.
I just got this great book.
Right. I feel that.
A novel.
Right.
A young adult novel. Like, the more specific you can get, the more exciting it is.
Yeah, that's true. Well, I mean, I was specific about the article that I'm working on, so that's kind of nice.
Yeah. Yeah, when you tell me it's an article,
gives you more of an indication.
Right. I start creating a visual in my head. Like,
yeah.
It's going to be, like, certain length.
Uh-huh.
There might be some pictures.
A couple lead illustrations.
Maybe.
A couple lead illustrations.
Yeah, it's going to be something that, you know, I can
chew on,
read in one sitting.
Yeah, I made some content last night. I did this. I did this set at Wild Thing. It was really fun. I told a love story. It was nice.
What's Wild Thing?
Wild Thing is a clothing company that originated in Portland, Oregon, but now has a store in New York in Soho, and they make clothing for like badass tomboy women. And
my God, this is the brandiest podcast we have ever done.
I'm just searching for a sponsor. Squarespace, call us. MailChimp, call us. Look how good we make you sound.
All right, so Wild Thing.
Wild Fang.
Fang?
Fang. Like teeth.
Fang?
Fang. Fang.
Okay.
It was great. People were very sweet. I told a love story. Made some people laugh. Made some people cry. That's how I know it's a good... Like, whenever I get off stage and one person tells me they laughed and then another person tells me they cried, I'm like, this was a good performance. I feel good about it. I had one. It was nice.
That's a good metric.
Yeah. So what are we doing here today? Besides talking about me.
You know, I'm always 3 hours behind you when we do these things.
A little poetry to that.
Dick. So I'm still drinking my coffee.
Okay. I've had 2 cups.
I've had about 4.
You've had 4? It's 9:45 over there. You've had 4 cups of coffee.
Yeah.
What time did you wake up?
I woke up at 8.
Okay.
Woke up late.
All right.
Which I'm sure is really interesting to people.
It's the most... It is interesting. I woke up at 7:30. I also haven't drank or smoked weed in 10 days. So I'm waking up very early right now.
All right, let's talk about that. You want to talk about that?
We can talk about that.
Why'd you stop doing that?
You know those times where you're waking up and you have like that little stain on your teeth that comes from alcohol and you realize that you don't have a memory of the last time you didn't wake up with that stain on your teeth? That was basically the push. It was, I can't remember the last time I fell asleep without the help of something.
Well, at my age, we look at our teeth before we put them in.
Yeah, it's a generational gap, really.
Yeah.
I had to take a little break. Sometimes it's important to take a little break.
So it's just, do you know how long the break is for, or are you just going to feel it out?
I'm going to feel it out. So I do this once a year. A couple years ago, I took a month off. And then last year, I took 52 days off. And this year, I don't know. I'll probably take a couple months off.
All right.
Feels good. I was getting depressed. There's this thing that happens when you freelance. And speaking about cities, my main interaction of the day is when I go downstairs to talk to the barista and ask them how they're doing. Like, that's sort of my conversation. So depression can really nip you in the bud when you start to freelance. And I caught myself sort of falling into that trap. So I had to take a little break.
Have you considered renting a desk at the fabulous co-working space WeWork?
How much money do you think I got, Mike? I don't got WeWork money.
How hard are we shilling for sponsors today?
Look, you know, it's the 25th, 26th. I got to make rent in 4 days. I'm not renting a WeWork desk. I'm trying to pay
Come
some
on.
Bills.
Robin's got to make rent. We need sponsorship money.
We need sponsorship.
Get that sponsorship paper in here.
Have you ever taken a break from drinking or doing drugs in general?
The only drugs I do at my age anymore are things that are prescribed to me.
Okay. Except alcohol is not prescribed.
Right. You know, I have maybe like 2 drinks a week.
Okay. Wow, really?
Yeah.
When we drink like 5 drinks in a night.
Well, but, you know, that's not my normal night. It's true. We do. When we get together, we get sloppy.
Yeah.
But that's an exception for me. Like, and I look forward to that.
See, that wasn't an exception for me. That was the normal for me.
Yeah, that's going to catch up with you.
Yeah, I caught up.
Yeah. So when we do that, like for the next 2 days, I'm like...
But you could really go for
moving
it.
Moving real slow.
You could, like, every night that we've gone for the gold, you have gone for it. And I've been impressed.
Oh, I go for it.
You can outdrink me.
I can.
Definitely.
But it's a sprint, not a marathon at this point.
Got it. I see now. Very clear.
So check on me the next few days after we do that.
Got it. I see. That's where it catches up.
Oh, yeah. I can't go back out the next night and do that.
Real, very real.
No, the next day I'm having like a Canada Dry day.
Just ginger ale straight throughout.
So Canada Dry, a refreshing drink.
God, that was perfect. You know, I love a Canada Dry, but sometimes I can really go for a fresh Coca-Cola. This sugary drink that never stops loving you.
It never stops loving you. It loves you right back.
It loves you so much.
Sometimes I need the refreshing citrusy taste of a Fresca.
Sometimes when it's late at night, my fingernails are too long and I clip them with this fingernail clipper.
I have no idea what's going on right now.
I'm dying. I was trying to sell a toenail clipper. A fingernail clipper.
We're not gonna get sponsored by a toenail clipper.
You might. You never know.
I don't even know who the hell makes toenail clippers.
Well, the one that I'm holding in my hand is made by
Dollar Shave Club.
I can't stop laughing.
It's made by your Bessette. Fingers. Your fingers need to be shaved too.
Yeah, of course. Your knuckles need shaving.
Shave those knuckles.
Shave those knuckles. Wow. Anyways, so I stopped drinking because I'm an addict.
Do people shave their knuckles?
I've known some knuckle shavers in my day.
Really? At what point in your life do you look down at your hands and say,
it's time to shave these knuckles.
I got to shave these.
Mostly when you get, I feel like when people get knuckle tattoos, they have that moment where they're like, wow, these are what my knuckles look like.
Well, you know, when you get a tattoo, they shave everything.
Right. Oh, yeah. Every part of your body.
Well, every part.
If you get a tattoo on your ankle, you get the whole body waxed.
Get a complete nair down.
Yeah, it's important. It's part of the process. Nair, sponsored by Earn Your Death.
This is good radio.
It's great. So we were going to talk about living in cities, and then I sort of just talked about drinking. Now we're sponsoring things. What's your favorite part about living in San Francisco, besides the cheap rent?
The people are so... I mean, you know, tech people just really add so much.
Oh, they're so wonderful.
To the civic dynamic. They're so caring.
You know, they're so smart, too. Tech people, they're brilliant.
They care about where they live.
Yeah.
More than anyone.
Aw.
Yeah. No. I don't even want that on the radio. I want that cut immediately. So just so people don't think I was serious.
Yeah. No, that was sarcasm. What is your favorite part? Tell me, what's the real answer?
I like the density, honestly.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
I like the density. You know, when it comes down to it, I like all of the things that annoy me.
Huh. That speaks volumes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the fact that there's tons of people in this building and they're all weird and different and I know so little about them, I like that too.
Would you hate it if you knew them?
Probably not. But, you know, when you live this packed in together, there's things that you figure out how to do to survive.
Mm.
You have to, like, I can hear everything my neighbors are doing.
And you like that.
But I pretend I can't.
Huh.
And I think we all do. I think we all pretend we can't hear everything and that we can't see everything because otherwise we'd go nuts.
I don't know. So last night I was walking home, right? And it's summer in New York City. So that means everybody has their blinds open. And I have a neighbor who masturbates in the window a lot. And he doesn't masturbate like in the window, but it's clear that he's sitting at a computer and he's masturbating.
This, you know, I'm wondering why we can't get sponsorships.
I have no idea. Aveeno lotion sponsored by Earn Your Death.
No, I mean this is a great spot to be sponsored by. You know, who makes blinds? window
West Elm.
West Elm window blinds.
Yeah.
When you don't want to see your neighbor jacking off in the window.
It's honestly, it doesn't even bother me. Like, out of all the things that could bother me in New York, I see that dude masturbating usually around the same night. And I don't look for it. It's just like I walk home at like late at night and 11 p.m. the dude's masturbating. And it's fine.
It's just part of the fabric of the city.
Yeah, I'm totally comfortable with that. Honestly, it's like the healthiest thing for him. So I just really, I don't even know what his face looks like. I just sort of see his hand moving.
I mean, I get on public transit and everybody's packed in together.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
You know, the dude sitting next to me is like looking for his hookup for the weekend.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
And, you know, there's like porn flying on his phone.
Easily.
And I don't care.
No shit.
He doesn't care that I can see it.
That's honestly the thing that I love about cities so much.
Yeah.
I love just like the fucks are gone.
Yeah.
It's great. It's home.
That said,
mm-hmm.
I'm not sure San Francisco has learned how to be a city yet.
Huh. Because it has bad public transit?
No, because I don't think the people, I don't think it's had the time.
Oh. Huh.
So
I feel like it's had a lot of time to learn to be a city.
Yeah, this shit takes time. So New York is what, like 100 years older than San Francisco?
Yeah.
like East Coast cities.
Sure.
Like they've been at this for like...
We've been doing it for a while.
100 years longer.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's like a collective intelligence.
Okay.
That happens in a... Like, I think like in New York, you know, and tell me if I'm being incorrect or if I'm just like making this shit up. But you know that when you get to the top of the escalator, you can't just stand there looking around.
Yeah, that you'll get cut.
San Franciscans haven't learned that yet.
Oh, that makes a lot of sense, actually.
Yeah, they'll get to the top of the escalator. They'll stop. They'll look around. It doesn't occur to them that there's people behind them because, you know, they're the only person
in the world that matters
on that escalator.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe this is a California thing.
Sure.
One of those like individualism things.
Right, right.
I just made air quotes.
Good radio.
Great radio. I think people in cities on the East Coast understand that they're part of a collective.
Mm. Yeah. I think people know too that if you stand at the top of the escalator and you stay there, you're going to get shoved a little bit. So if it happens, you can't be mad. Like that's one of the bigger things. Like if you get caught doing nothing, you cannot get mad when somebody shoves you.
Yeah, and when people here get shoved, as they have to because there's other people coming up behind them.
Right.
Oh,
right.
Man, they get pissy.
You know what I hate that New Yorkers do, though? And this happens especially a lot in Midtown. There will be people who are walking with their phones in their hand, and then they'll just stop walking, like, while I'm walking behind them. Like, at any
point. Oh, That
drives me nuts. I hate that so much. Just veer off to the... If it's a traffic, just veer off to the side. Pull over.
Yeah, like I was trained to, like, if you're either in the city's flow...
Right.
Or you're out of the city's flow, at which point you pull in.
Mm.
It's like a car pulling over to the side of the road.
Right. That makes sense. Sponsored by Volkswagen.
AAA.
AAA.
It's not just for cars anymore. It's for people. Put your fucking phone down.
Yeah. Oh, we're just making products right now.
It's
true. Like, I think that's a smart thing. Like, if you pull it aside, that's great. I appreciate it. Do your thing. And, like, for the most part, I'm comfortable with, like, the public weirdness. Like, I see people pick their nose all the time, see people masturbate all the time, all of these other things of life things, and I'm generally pretty chill with it. But, like, when I'm walking and I'm trying to get to a destination and you just stop right in front of me and I climb, yeah. It's like this, you know, it ricochets. It throws the whole flow out of whack and everybody's mad.
I saw a dude crossing the street the other day.
Yeah.
And a bike was coming down the street.
Mm.
And the two of them just collided. And the dude who was walking dropped his phone.
Yeah.
And the person next to me, like, ran over and said, "Is your phone okay?"
Oh, God. Wow. Like, the phone has to go to the hospital.
Right.
ER.
Well, to be fair, the phone probably has a better chance of being insured than the person.
True. So true. It's fine. I mean, it's honestly fine. It's home. It feels good. We live in two very different cities, but it's home all the same.
So if I didn't live in a city.
Yeah.
So for me, it's either I got to live in a city or I want to live like in a cabin in the woods.
Mm, I get that.
Like, I can do extremes.
Sure. No suburbia.
Oh, God.
Suburbia is the worst.
I could not do it.
Yeah, it's bad.
It's like civilization's taint.
Yeah,
taint alone. It's that in between space.
Yeah, I get that. I don't know. It's the feeling that when I go back up to Maine and I really love it and I enjoy it and I feel good. I'm never in, like, Maine doesn't really have the suburbs for the most part. I guess it kind of does, but like, I mostly lived in rural Maine. And I really like that appreciation of I'm in that place. Chances are I don't have phone reception. Like, Maine has phone reception, but the parts that I go to generally don't. And it feels good. Like, I feel really, really good about it.
So you feel isolated up there?
Yeah, well, I have space to think.
And you like that?
Yeah, I have space to think. And that's important for me. I need that time.
Yeah, I could do that.
Yeah. Can I ask you a question, Mike?
Yeah.
What's up? You got an oxygen tank in your home? Like...
How the fuck did... How do you believe that?
So you don't have...
Like, how many days have you believed this for?
About a week. So for the people who... I'm going to give people context because I guess...
Jesus Christ.
So Mike did this interview, and in the interview, he said that he uses this, like, this full-on hospital tank thing in his home, and I believed it. I was like, yeah, I could see that. Like, oxygen... Well, yeah.
It was a silly question.
So you don't have an oxygen tank?
Who the fuck does?
I just assume you had an oxygen tank.
Who the fuck has an oxygen tank in their house, Robin?
You're in San Francisco. You might.
Where do you even... How much space do you think I have?
You put a link to where you bought one in it.
I'm
sold
not even
the joke too much. That was the problem.
It sounds like I sold it just enough. I don't even know if it's legal to have an oxygen tank in your home.
I was just like, huh, weird, but I guess it makes sense.
How did it make sense?
Because you like quiet spaces. I don't know. Maybe you have breathing problems. I don't know your life. It just seemed like a thing. Like, maybe if I heard you say it, I wouldn't believe it. But because it was written, I was like, huh, Mike has oxygen tank. Can't believe I've never known that. I've also never been to your home. So how would I have an idea?
Well, there's no oxygen tank.
Okay. For the readers and listeners at home, Mike does not have an oxygen tank in his home.
I've never been in your home either. I don't know what you have in there.
You've been in my home like 4 times.
I've been to your home in Seattle.
Okay, true. It's the same stuff.
I don't know that. I mean, did you have a guy masturbating across the hall in Seattle?
No. In Seattle, I lived across the street from a BDSM gay bar, though, so that had its own perks.
Yeah.
Hey, Rupert.
That's my stupid dog.
Love that dog.
Yeah. He has an oxygen tank. Tiny little one.
Small little dog bed oxygen tank.
Little dog bed oxygen tank.
Do you ever put Rupert in a I hate this word, but cage or kennel? Is that the right word? Kennel?
Are you kidding? That fucker sleeps in bed.
Aw, good for Rupert.
No, he's like the most spoiled fucking dog in the world.
Iconic. So when you leave the house, he just stays out and he's good.
Oh yeah.
That's good. I've met Rupert a few times. He's a great dog.
No, he's a fat little purse dog.
Yeah. It's the most unlikely dog for you. I'll admit that.
Well, live in a small apartment. What? Okay, wait a minute.
Wait a minute.
What kind of dog do you think I should have?
You know those dogs that are like wolves, but they're still technically dogs?
Have you ever seen one of those dogs take a shit?
No, I admittedly have not watched it up close and personal.
They make a lot of shit.
Fair. I can see that being a problem.
When we were deciding what kind of dog to get, my math was all about how much shit do I want to pick up.
Fair.
So my wife, Erica, was like looking at, you know, things like, you know, what's a dog look like? What's their temperament?
Right.
How do they get along with other people? I was like Googling like average size of French bulldog shit.
Wow. We can get a pooper scooper to sponsor us.
You know, do people still use those? I've never seen one. Like, I haven't seen one of those in like 30 years.
How do you pick up your dog's poop?
You put a plastic bag on your hand.
Okay. All right. The reverse trick. Yeah.
You grab it. You give it a good squeeze.
Yeah. You squeeze it.
Fuck yeah, I squeeze it.
Why you squeeze it?
I you know, to measure the dog's health. You want to...
Oh.
Yeah.
Interesting. Wow, you're really dad of the year over here with the Rupert.
Yeah, you gotta give it a good squeeze. Also, it's warm and it kind of feels good.
All right. That's good. Not weird at all. Do you wear headphones when you walk the dog too? Or are you a...
No,
you,
that's rude.
You're a communicator. I figured.
That's rude. I don't understand people who wear headphones when they walk their dogs.
Me either.
Like, I wear headphones. So, okay, let's talk about this.
Yeah.
So, I wear headphones when I am completely by myself.
Okay.
When I want to be by myself. Sometimes they're not even plugged in anything.
Right. Yeah, I do that.
It's just a sign to the people around me.
Right.
I am a body traveling through space and time, which you do not have access to.
Mm.
I do this when I fly, too. Like, the minute I walk through the airport gate, the headphones go on.
Mm.
They come off if I have to interact with somebody, like a ticket agent, because, you know, if you're trying to interact with somebody and you have headphones on, that's rude.
Right. I agree.
So if I'm interacting with somebody who's doing their job, they come off.
Yeah.
But otherwise they go back on. Like, I am like, because you're sitting next to me does not mean that we are going to become friends on this flight. Mm. I do not want to know about your life.
Right.
I do not want to see pictures of your kids.
Have you ever been on a flight with somebody who knows who you are?
Oh, that's the worst.
I had one of those. It was a fun experience.
Oh, well, if you're lucky, they're not sitting anywhere near you.
Right,
you just say,
next to me.
You, Right. So you just say hi as you pass in the aisle.
Yeah.
And then you nod at each other as one of you goes to pee.
Yeah.
But oh my God, when they sit down next to you, it's uh-huh. like, fuck. Especially if it's somebody that you know from work.
Right. Oh yeah.
Somebody that you've worked with in the past or it's so awkward. Somebody who was in a workshop that you were running once.
Yeah.
Like, love all those people to death.
Sure.
But that flying time is me time.
It's a time and place thing.
Yeah.
I did this talk in Minneapolis last year, and on the flight back to New York the next day, it was most people at the conference were flying back to New York, right? And I had lost my phone in the airport, so I had no phone, and I didn't like have headphones, so I couldn't really do anything. So I had to be on this flight the whole time and just sort of in my own head. And I sit down, and the guy was like, hey, you're Robin Canner. And I was like, oh, what's up? How are you? And I realized that we're about to sit down next to each other. He's like, oh, I saw you talk. I was like, that rules. Cool. And he's like, don't worry, I won't talk to you about it while you're flying back. And I was like, all right. And we didn't talk the whole ride. It was very lovely. That was the way to do it.
That's nice.
Yeah. Felt good. You know what makes it better though?
What?
So I'm in the hotel on the way to go to the airport, right? And this woman is sort of in the lobby with me and looks familiar. And I think that she might have been to a talk of mine or something like that. So I make small talk and I'm like, oh, where are you going? And she's like, oh, the airport. And I was like, oh, okay. So I was like, do you want to share a cab? She's like, sure, of course. So we share a cab. And we're sort of talking about the conference, experience like that. And she asked me like what I'm doing. I was like, oh, you know, working. And she knows where I work and stuff like that. And halfway through the cab ride onto the airport, I was like, so what do you do? Are you a designer? And she looks at me. She's like, yeah, I work with you.
Damn, Robin.
She's a coworker.
Damn.
It was a moment. Oh,
you don't know the people you work with.
I mean, I had been there for like a few months at that point. It was just like, oh.
Damn.
Yeah, that was a fun one. Really talked my way out of it.
You know, when I think about all the places that I could live.
Right.
And I'm thinking like densely packed cities. Cool. I know how to do that. I've always done that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking like, okay, middle of like rural nowhere, cabin in the woods, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, yeah.
It occurs to me that the thing that both of those places have in common is anonymity.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So, I mean.
You like being anonymous.
I like being able to walk around.
Right.
And do my thing and not have anybody know my business.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
And in the city, you get that because everybody's ignoring everybody else's business because otherwise you'd go nuts because there's so much of it.
Yeah, it's too much.
There's a special skill to living in cities where you understand the flow,
mm-hmm.
but ignore the details.
Mm. Ignore the details. I kind of like that for as much as...
Yeah.
Yeah. It's very lovely.
Like the guy across the hall from you in the window.
Right.
You ignore the details.
I see it. It's fine. It's chill.
But if he stopped doing that, you would notice it because it changed the flow.
Mm.
Change the flow. Brought to you by Flonase. When you want to stick something in an orifice but not have it be dirty, Flonase.
Honestly, I was going to go for a period panties brand, but... Flonase works.
No, we're casting a wide net here.
For thanks. For anybody who will show us love, Mike, I have a question for you.
Go ahead.
What do you think about Carmelo Anthony going to the Rockets on a veteran's minimum? Veteran's minimum. Man, it's not even getting paid anymore.
You know, I would not want Carmelo Anthony on my team.
Yeah, same. I mean, depending on what team it is, but yeah.
He has never struck me as a team player.
Mm. You think he's aging better, though?
Well, you know, this is the sort of move that maybe makes me think he's understanding his value a little better.
Sure.
Because where was he? He was on the Thunder, right?
Yeah, he was on the Thunder.
Went from the
Paul
Knicks
George.
To the Thunder.
Yeah.
And didn't he make some comment about how he would not come off the bench?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, he refused.
Yeah, he refused to come off the bench.
Yeah.
Is the idea here that he's going to start for Houston?
I don't know. I think it's a very strong possibility that he comes off the bench.
I think at this point in his career, he could be a very valuable asset coming off the bench.
Yeah, he could be the Andre Iguodala.
Yeah, incredibly valuable.
Totally.
And I hope he's there. I hope he sees that.
I agree. He's made some weird moves.
I never understood why he stuck with the Knicks so long.
I know. Well, I mean, other than it was a big market and he was sort of the king of it.
Yeah, but so do you want to be in a big market or do you want to win?
That's the question. Unless you're Golden State, then you get both.
Golden State's not, well, I mean.
This is a big market.
It's a big market, I guess.
It's turned into a big market. Yeah. It wasn't before, but it is now.
I feel bad that they're moving.
Interesting thing, though, Sacramento Kings, which is technically right next to it, not a big market.
Not a big market.
Very small.
Shitty team, too.
Real shitty. But shout out to the Sacramento Kings for trying their best. Sacramento Kings, sponsored by Earn Your Debt.
The official podcast of the NBA. Aim a little higher.
If we just pick the bad teams, it'll be fine. You know what I am excited about, though, for real, though?
What?
Chicago Bulls coach Jabari Parker. And I'm stoked about it. Because for as much as we talk about the Warriors and everything on this podcast, the Chicago Bulls are my number one ride or die team. It's just that it's so depressing to talk about the Chicago Bulls that I generally don't. But we got Jabari Parker now.
How are the Chicago Bulls your ride or die team? You're not from Chicago.
My dad is.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. My dad's from Southside Chicago. So I get to have it.
That makes sense. I will allow that.
I know there's rules to this and I'm very aware of them. But for me,
do you know what they are?
For me, the rules are you can root for wherever your parents are from or where you're from. Like those are two things.
Or where you live.
Or where you live. Yeah. So you get three things. Yeah.
Yeah. But there's an order. There's an order of preference too.
Oh, I didn't know the order. What's the order?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So the order of preference is where you're from.
Okay.
Like this is the order of allegiance strength.
Good. We got a nice name for it.
Yeah. So where you're from,
yeah,
followed by where your parents are from, followed by where you live.
That makes sense. So in that order, I would be a Boston Celtics number one, Chicago Bulls, the New York Knicks. But I'm not the biggest Knicks fans for obvious reasons. Well, technically Brooklyn Nets because they live in Brooklyn. But I just feel like I have too many teams to root for. I love the Celtics. I love the Warriors for Steve Kerr. And I love the Bulls forever.
It's exciting to see the Sixers coming back.
Oh, I feel so happy for you.
Yeah.
I feel like you really didn't add a piece to it over the summer, though. I think you needed to add a piece.
You know, when I look at the pieces that they could have added,
yeah,
and what could have happened, I'm okay with where they landed.
Are you a little mad you didn't get Kawhi?
No, because he's not going to stay.
That makes sense.
The odds of him bolting for the Lakers are really, really high.
Yeah, it's real. Poor Raptors.
So I don't understand the Raptors move there.
I think it was a weird one. I think it was a really weird one because they had a strong franchise player there.
So if you look at the Sixers, you're looking at a very young team that's beginning to gel.
Yeah.
And they overachieved last year. They
agreed.
They did better than anybody expected them to do.
Right. It was the Celtics who knocked them out, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Just making a call out there.
I think you trade for a season of Kawhi.
Yeah.
If you've like been banging on the door for a couple years,
right,
and just need one little push to get through,
right,
I think the Sixers are still running up the stairs.
That makes a lot of sense.
They're going in the right direction.
Yeah,
I think if in a couple of years they've like show up to the conference finals a couple of years,
right,
and like lose a couple of game sixes or game sevens,
right,
and then a year of Kawhi. Someone like Kawhi makes sense.
That makes a lot of sense to me. I think they're going to have a lot of pieces to pick from when they're ready for it. I think they're very good with where they are right now. I mean, they're a great team. They really are. They just need that one extra piece to it.
You know, I love seeing a team come up together in jail.
Yeah, me too. That's why it's been so fun to watch the Warriors for all these years.
I know. So, I mean, people talk a lot about Kevin Durant, and Kevin Durant is amazing and awesome, and I can't believe that. I still can't believe that happened.
Right.
But he was added to a core that had been growing up together,
exactly,
coming up together for years, a core that won a championship.
Right, right.
You'd be a fool not to want to join that.
Of course.
I don't understand the Durant hatred.
No, I mean, the hatred sort of increased a little bit when they got Cousins, but I think it's fine. Like, if the Warriors can get them, that's great.
I think the Cousins thing is not going to be a great factor next year.
Yeah, no.
I mean, it's not going to be as big a factor as people think it's going to be. He's still hurt.
Yeah, he's going to be out for the first, I think, till the Christmas. That's when he's basically playing to return.
Yeah.
But for the Warriors, that's kind of what they need, right? Somebody to come in at the playoff times and just sort of crank a few buckets in.
Yeah.
It's going to be fascinating.
And then he's going to be gone. Yeah. And both sides acknowledge that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And here's the thing. Like, when it comes down to the next playoff run, and we're probably going to be looking at Warriors and Celtics, it's going to be interesting. I think it really is. It's going to be really interesting.
Well, I think we're going to be looking at Warriors and Sixers, but fine.
I think we're going to be looking at an Eastern Conference Finals, one for the ages.
We're not talking about the Lakers.
No, not this year. Not this year.
Are we talking about him next year?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, next year. Because they have to
what
get
changes?
Kawhi.
Okay.
Kawhi's the biggest change. Because honestly, LeBron, he needs a year to figure out what leadership is going to be like there. He needs a year to figure out, like, this is what the front office feels like. He's got a couple of trade deadlines to work through. Like, I think he needs a year, and he's going to take that year to sit and understand that he's probably not going to make it to the finals. But the year after that, he's going to go for it.
I think they get Paul George still.
No, he signed. I mean, Paul George.
I know he signed, but I don't think it's going to work out for the Thunder the way everybody thinks it's going to work out.
Oh, you think the Thunder's going to let him go?
And, well, trade him.
Oh, yeah. That's possible.
And I think, you know, within a couple of years, the Thunder. How long did he sign for?
4 years.
I think halfway through that contract, the Thunder trades him to the Lakers.
Yeah, but that's going to be an old team. It's going to be a real old team. We'll see.
Anyway.
This is a good conversation.
It's always a good conversation. And you know, I think people tune in to hear us talk about basketball.
I think so, too. I met somebody who told me that they loved the basketball segment of it. So it's good.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Hilarious.
I was doing a workshop and somebody mentioned that they listened to it. And I was like, you're so sweet. And, you know, I just got to say it. Every time we do these podcasts, I wake up, I go downstairs, I grab my cup of coffee from the bodega that I love, and then I pick up my microphone. It's a Shure S58, and it's really one of the best sound microphones I've ever used for a podcast.
Hilarious.
Thank you, Shure. I appreciate it.
What do you have coming up soon? What do you have coming up that people should go to?
What do I have coming up? Well, so I know in August, I think the date is August 23rd. I'm doing a reading at this place called Throne Watches. My friend Zach and Travis own a shop, and they hand make watches. And I think we're going to be doing a reading there, which will be cool. I have a couple of articles coming out that's going to be exciting. And I'm working on a couple of big personal projects, and that's kind of my life.
Okay.
What about you? You got anything for the people to go to?
I've got a conference coming up in Braga, Portugal.
Wow.
Mirror Conference. I'm doing UX Live in London.
Nice.
And assorted other things that I'll sprinkle throughout. Mostly I'm writing.
That's good. That's really good.
It's an angry book.
Yeah. The world needs a little angry.
If you're signed up for my newsletter, it's on Tiny Letter.
Sponsored by Tiny Letter.
Sponsored by Tiny Letter, which is part of the MailChimp empire.
Mm.
You know, no, nobody knows about the arms deals that MailChimp does, do they?
No.
Great. Okay, let's keep that in the back.
Yeah.
If you sign up for my Tiny Letter, God, that sounds so weird.
Tiny Letter. You sign up for my Tiny Letter.
You know, I'm gonna post the occasional book excerpt in there.
Oh, that's nice. Do it for the people.
Yeah.
When are we gonna do one of these live for a studio audience?
I thought this one was live in front of a studio audience.
No,
that's what I heard at the beginning.
good punching. Love you, Mike.
I love you, Robin.
Talk to you soon.
All right. Go watch your neighbor.
I will. Bye.
Bye. Ba 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 I'm back, you freak.